Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, December 26, 2021, the last Sunday of 2021. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled Isaiah 40, and our verse is taken from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 through 5. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
So this is the last Sunday of the month. Am I right? And the last Sunday of the year. Am I right?
Yes.
I guess I'll get to preach now. Well, Wednesday we'll have a prayer meeting. It's been announced already. And it was a wonderful time of just finding a spot in the church and praying and lifting up the name of the Lord. And it felt like we had 600 people here. That's the weight of God's presence. And so I invite you to come for this last service of the year, which would be Wednesday, and just call in the name of the Lord. We say it's a Spanish service. God understands all languages. So make sure you come, and let's enjoy the presence of the Lord together. So good. So today, I would like for us to go to Isaiah chapter 40, another one of those wonderful texts in the Old Testament that are so relevant to your life and my life, and it's congruent with the time in which we're living. So chapter 4 of Isaiah, verse 3, 4, and 5. And we can have it up on the screen, or I can just read it directly. All right, I can just read it directly. I think you've all heard this before, haven't you? It states, "A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway." There we go. Let's do it again. "A voice of one calling, in the desert prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, and every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord..." Everybody, "and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all of mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." May God bless the reading of his word. I was thinking about that text, wondering how I could apply it for this morning's service, and so it occurred to me that it would be wonderful to look at the Gospels and see how this actually took place. And we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all of them are just wonderful gospels. Matthew, as you know, was written primarily to the Jewish believers. Luke was written primarily to the Greeks. Mark was written primarily to the Romans. And John was written to the church. The writers of the New Testament had a vision in mind and an audience to reach, and they wrote accordingly as they were led by the Holy Spirit. And so of the three Gospels, actually the four Gospels, but the one that I believe universalizes that whole thing, the whole text of Isaiah 40, is the Gospel of Luke. And I'd just like you to know that the Gospel of Luke is the Gospel to the Gentiles, which means it's the Gospel for you and for me. All of those who are not of Jewish heritage listened to this Gospel and read this Gospel and found out the abundance and the wonderful love of God. Today, we need to reread the Gospel of Luke and see ourselves as the object of God's love. Our country needs to read Luke. Our country needs to understand Luke. As you understand the Gospel of Luke, you will understand that this is a gospel for all of us, for all people. It's a gospel of inclusion. So in Matthew, you could argue it's for the Jewish primarily, for those who had a mindset on Jewish traditions. Of course, it's for everybody, but that was the main target. For the book of Mark was the Romans, the soldiers, that they wanted action. And so as you read through the book of Mark, it's action-driven. John is a theologian. John is the one who speaks about the depths and the greatness of Christ in our lives. But it is Luke that writes to the Gentiles. And let me just run with some of the themes that we find in this gospel that make an echo on Isaiah 40, 3, and 5. First of all, the Gospel of Luke is a gospel uniquely of prayer. In the Gospel of Luke, you find prayer more than in any of the other three gospels. It's not that it's not mentioned in the other gospels, but that but Luke makes a special emphasis on prayer. For instance, we see the prayer at the baptism of Jesus. When Jesus was baptized, we see the prayer that came out of the Lord's heart, and you see the response of the Holy Spirit and the Father, the Trinity together at the water baptism. Also, you find prayer at the time when the Pharisees were trying to overthrow Christ, Jesus, the Messiah. And before that collision came, there was prayer on the lips of Jesus. Also, before the 12 were selected, Jesus prayed all night, asking God, helping him and asking for the lives of this 12 that would carry on the message that he had been sent to give. And remember that of those 12, one of them was Judas. Judas was covered in the same prayers of the other 11. There was a moment in the life of Jesus where he asked very directly, "Who do you think I am?" And the disciples answered and said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of God." And it was Peter who said that. And Jesus said, "Flesh and blood did not reveal that unto you, but my Father who is in glory." Prior to that, there was a prayer in the lips of Jesus, asking and wanting to hear that response so that it could be once and forever settled in the hearts of his disciples. But the great prayer of transfiguration, when Jesus was transfigured before those three apostles, three disciples, it was the prayer of Jesus who was, is, and will always be the second person of the Trinity. And you can look and on, and you see how prayer invades this gospel. Did you know it's only in Luke that you see Jesus saying, "I prayed for you, Peter, that your faith would not falter"? It's in that gospel, because the gospel of Luke emphasizes prayer in more ways than one. He speaks about the importance of unlocking the door of prayer in our lives. So may I suggest to you that as we end this Christmas season, and as we're coming into the new into the new year, that we would somehow, some way, remember prayer as being a key to unlock. There's so much more that God can do in your life and my life if we would just open ourselves to Him in prayer. Such a simple request, such a simple prompting from the Spirit who says, "Seek me and you will find me. But you will find me when you seek me with all your heart." Wednesday, we have a time of prayer. Come, begin to seek the Lord. Make this a practice. Double back on the practice. Completely go on and pray and seek the Lord. You will be blessed. The Gospel of Luke tells us that. But remarkably, the Gospel of Luke is a gospel of women. Hello, everybody. That's absolutely true. Because the women were considered in low self-esteem themselves. They were felt self-esteem, very low self-esteem. Society pushed them down as well. But it is this gospel that opens up the possibilities that God is going to and has worked through women. You know, the Jewish people had this prayer, and it's I think we've mentioned this years ago, and it needs to be repeated. You know, when the Jewish people prayed, you know how they prayed? Among their many prayers was, "Oh, thank you, God, you did not make me a woman." I mean, that's exactly their prayer. Thank you. You know, that's exactly what it was. So you can imagine the antagonistic position of women in that first century and why sometimes we misunderstand the readings of the scriptures. But when we have that understanding of the concept of the culture, then we can see how revolutionary the Gospel of Luke is, because it is here that the birth of Christ is told from Mary's point of view, from a woman's point of view, not from a man, but from a woman's point of view. And then you have Elizabeth, and you have Anna, and you have the widow of Nain, and you see how women become part of the important narrative, if I can use the word, the narrative of the gospel. Women are mentioned, and their position in ways in which men could not understand. We can think of pictures of Mary and of Mary of Magdalene, and we think of Martha, and we look at all the women that played such an important role in the life of the Savior and in the whole concept of whom Christ came to redeem. Women were part of the plot of saving humanity, as men were. They had equal standing in the face of the Lord. It is believed that Luke was born in Macedonia. And Luke, if that's the case, the people in Macedonia, women, were a little bit more emancipated than the rest. But regardless of it, we know that this was a gospel for the Gentiles, a gospel of prayer, a gospel of women. Think of it. Think the implications. But look, we continue to look at the gospel of Luke, and we find that it's also a gospel of praise. Praise God occurs more in the gospel of Luke than in all the New Testament. Think of that. I mean, that's an amazing stuff. I'll just read one in Luke chapter 1 and in verse 46. And it just brings the magnificent into view. And it's amazing the words, and it's amazing the style of the writer. And it begins to read in verse 46. If I get to it. Yes, here we go. And Mary said, Mary said, who?
Mary.
Oh, here we go. It wasn't John, it wasn't Peter, it was Mary. Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servants Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Amazing, the magnificent. It is amazing that the words and the content of Mary's song, the magnificent as is known in the literature, surpasses understanding. It was Mary. She is the one who said that. She is the one that positions herself as a woman, handmaiden of the Lord. Women do count. Not too many amens, but it's okay. That's all right. And I'm not going to go anymore. But there's also the Benedictines, the Benediction in chapter 1, verse 68. I'll read it to you. Why not? Verse 68, praise be. This is Zechariah now. This is a man. So please make room for a man. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he had said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him in all our days. And we can continue reading and reading and reading, and we find that this is a gospel of praise, of thankfulness for the great love of God, embraced through the eyes of a man named Luke, who tells us God loves all people and includes women, includes Gentiles, and it's a gospel of praise. We are to be thankful and prayerful for the things that God has done. Let me move on, because there's one more, maybe two, maybe three. Well, one more. This is gospel of universal. It's universal. It's for everybody. This is the gospel where all barriers are broken down. We hear so much today about equity. And I don't want to get into it, but, you know, equality and equity and difference. And that. The gospel of Luke takes care of all of that because, believe it or not, the Jesus Christ is for all the people without distinction. There are no classes in the eyes of God. Hispanic, white, black, Asian, I don't care where you come from or where you were born, Christ is your Savior. Christ loves you. You're included in the package. The Lord did not come just to save a group of people with a certain color of skin, but he came to save sinners that are in need of salvation. All of us, all of us. And in the gospel, you find an amazing attribute as to the openness of God's love and how God does not discriminate. For instance, we find the Samaritan. The Samaritan woman, unheard of. I mean, in the scripture it says Jesus is the one who comes to the Samaritan woman, and his disciples were scandalized by his contact. And they said, don't you know that Jews have no dealings with Samaritans? But Jesus has dealings with everyone. There is not a single person in this planet that God is not interested in and loves dearly and profoundly. The parable of the Good Samaritan is only found in Luke. Think of that. Amazing. Remember the story of those 10 lepers? Was it 12 or 10? 10 or 12? 10. All right, the majority wins. 10 lepers. All right. Thank you, brother. You're the scholar in residence. Please help me. So it's 10. And what was the gist of that parable? At the end of it, well, not parable, but an actual case. At the end of it, what happened? Only one came back. And who was the one that who came back? A Samaritan. So the Lord, through this gospel, highlights that God does not discriminate. He loves the Samaritans just as much as he loved the Jewish people. The hero is the Samaritan who came. And the Lord said, hey, those people were healed from leprosy, but you have been also healed for something much greater. He was saved by the power of God. So salvation comes to all of us. But the grateful leper gets away with much more, and he was a Samaritan. He spoke to people. And as Jesus spoke to people, he did not ask for the approval or the Orthodox Jews or anybody else to speak to. As a matter of fact, he speaks to everybody that he feels he needs to speak to. God's words go to the whole world. There is nothing that stops God's word from reaching you. If you really want to listen, he will speak, and he is speaking to you. And the Lord was so incredibly audacious that when the Roman centurion came and he began to talk and intercede for the life of a loved one, what did he say to the Roman centurion? Well, I'll put it in my own words. There is nobody that has better faith and greater faith in all of Judea and all with all the Jewish people than this guy. This guy has the greatest faith yet. What does it mean? It means that God is no respecter of persons. Again, we go to that. The Roman centurion heard the voice of the Lord, and he actually believed it. Let me look at Luke chapter 13, verse 29, because I think that's something that I should read to you. 13:29, and you'll see what I mean, and I pray that this is the right scripture, 13:29. I mean, I did have a party last night in my pillow, sleeping, trying to sleep. 13:29, yes, it is right. Hopefully it is right. Here we go, 29. Yes. People will come from the east and west and north and south and will take their places in the feast of the kingdom of God. Nobody is excluded. East, west, north, and south, they will all come. A kingdom that includes everyone. Everyone, unbelievable how the Lord Jesus speaks to everybody and draws the whole world unto himself. No one is excluded. Everybody is included to come. The invitation is to all men and women. Come unto me, all of you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So maybe one more item. And this item is something that needs to be stated. Because St. Luke not only is a gospel for the Gentiles, it's a gospel of prayer, a gospel of women, of praise, a gospel that's universal, but As you read the Gospel of Luke, you will find that he is supremely interested with the poor. We hear a lot about the poor today. At least I've heard a lot about the poor. This gospel says that Jesus is good news to the poor and to the brokenhearted. There's something about the element of God who cares and loves the poor. It was John Wesley who said, God really loves the poor people. That's why he made so many of them. Are you poor? Well, don't raise your hand, you know. I mean, poor according to which standard, you know. All I can tell you is that this is exactly the kind of a gospel that you find in Luke. Luke sees no limits to the love of God, and that's what Christmas is all about. He came to save all people, not just a few. Well, he did come to his own, but his own rejected him. But those of us who accept him, he would take us in and would call us and make us his own children. So there's an openness in God's love today to reach everybody. So God, in a wonderful way, speaks to you and to me today that the poor are loved by God. So if you feel downtrodden, if you feel poor in any way, shape, or form, some of us are poor physically, some of us are poor mentally, some of us are poor, you know, financially, which is mostly what this is about. But no matter what condition of poorness you find yourself, God loves you. And read the Gospel of Luke and see the times that Jesus intervenes and blessed those who are poor uniquely, in a unique way. He doesn't condemn the poor, he condemns the rich. And that's a richness that is selfish and self-aggrandizing, and is a richness that takes the place of God. When people put their trust on anyone but God, that's idolatry, and God condemns that. You may be wealthy, and you can be a wonderful blessing to people around you, because the wealth that you and I may have acquired is to be distributed to others. And as you do that, you bless people in the name of the Lord. And that is blessed of the Lord. Riches is for you to live a comfortable life, yes, but also to share it with those who are in need. And boy, do we have people who are in need. You may say, I don't have much money, but you have a good heart. Share your heart. Share the gospel with others. Make other people rich with the words that God has given you and the life that he has provided for you. It was in this gospel that Jesus says to the Samaritan, not Samaritan, the woman caught in adultery. Remember that? It appears in this gospel. Looks at her and says, who are you? No, he didn't say that. He said, what's going on here, guys? Well, we caught this woman in adultery. Man, we're going to stone her. We're going to kill her. And that's what the law said, you know. And so the men were ready to just throw stones at her. And so they kind of like put a trap to Jesus. And what should we do? And Jesus is the second or third time only in the entire gospel that he writes something. And actually, first time. And he goes into the dust and begins to write something. And after he writes something, he looks at everybody and says, he who is free from sin, let him cast the first stone. And of course, everybody took off because some people think that he was writing the names of the men who had an affair with that lady. Who knows what he was doing? We don't know. All I can tell you is that Jesus stood up and said that. And so everybody left. And the great, great saying, he who is free from sin, let him cast the first stone. Who can really cast any stones? None of us are free from doing crazy things in our life. But the amazing dialogue is that then Jesus looks at the woman and says, where are your accusers? And she says, they're gone. And then Jesus says, go and sin no more. What a wonderful portrait of the love of God, who doesn't hold you, you know, accountable to the things of yesterday by giving you a future. Says, go and sin no more. See, that's the gospel that comes through Luke, a gospel to the poor. Zacchaeus, the tax collector, he was a rascal. Nobody liked him. He was a thief. You know, I almost said similar to the IRS, but I shouldn't say that. But, you know, sometimes, you know, you don't know where it's coming from. And you pay and you pay and you pay and you pay. Look at the taxes we're paying in California. I mean, I used to fill up my, here we go, sorry. fill up my gas tank with $40, and now it's double that. And sometimes, you know, if you go to the wrong gas station, you know, there's a place where they sell cheap gas, but it's water, so don't go there. So this tax collector had cheated people, and Jesus came to his life. And apparently his conversion was such that he returned to people three times as much as what he had stolen from them. So this is Zacchaeus, a tax collector, hated by everybody. Nobody liked him. Jesus went to him, his house, and salvation came in his place. Well, he wasn't poor financially, but he was poor in spirit and heart. So you see, the book of Luke is a good book to read anytime, but especially in this time, in this season, where you see how wonderful it is that you and I can celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ, that you and I can celebrate Christmas from this viewpoint, from the viewpoint of Isaiah 40, because it's exactly what happened in Isaiah 40. The Lord Jesus came, and we saw the love of God that shows no limits. A gospel to the Gentiles, to the world at hand. A gospel that teaches us how to pray. A gospel that honors women and have women in places of prominence. A gospel of praise, for we must thank God for what he has done in our life. A gospel that is universal, that there are no barriers, there's no race, there's no ethnicity, there is no country, there are no limits to the love of God, proven by the Samaritans, proven by Jesus speaking even to the centurions, saying, I have not found in all of Israel the amount of faith that this man has. This guy is amazing. God looks at your life and my life and says to you and says to me, kingdom of God is open for everybody, from the east and from the north and from the north and from the south and all the cardinal points of the compass. We can come, and that will be the kingdom of God, which Christ came to establish when that happened some 2,000 and some odd years ago. So you and I today can be praising and thanking God for a gospel that can speak to our hearts and can attribute the blessings and the love of God. Don't let anybody tell you at any time that God doesn't love you. He loves you, and he proved it by sending Jesus to be birthed in a manger 2,000 and some odd years ago, and he came to die. He came to rescue you. I could say more stuff like, what is the gospel? What is Christmas? Christmas is grace. The grace, the gift of God to you and to me. But we have covered Luke and see all the different ways in which the gospel is displayed and pronounced for you and for me. And we ought to say, thank God for a man who was anointed and guided by the Holy Spirit to give us this gospel, so that today we can rejoice and say, yeah, Luke spoke to my heart. Luke speaks to the world. And all of this type of fight and all of this type of mischief and all of this quarrels that we see in the streets, that's not the gospel. That's not Christianity. This is Christianity. Coming together to acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God who came to save you and me without any discrimination, without any type of, shall we say, preconceived ideas. He wants you to have life, and life abundantly. Can we say amen?
Amen?
Lord, we thank you this Sunday morning for speaking to our hearts and for suggesting how much you love us. But it's more than just a suggestion, Lord. Your prophecies came through in the person of Christ. In that manger many, many, many years ago, you came through for us, Lord. And we can just proclaim you and thank you that today you have given us everything we could ever hope and have. So, Lord, touch us, strengthen us, help us to be men and women of prayer, men and women who would serve you in a time of crisis, in a time of difficulty, that we will not feel in any way, shape, or form that we are not loved by you. Lord, we may be a voice calling in the desert, but, Lord, we want to prepare the way. Lord, help us to make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Help us to see every obstacle in our lives be put down. Help us to see your work of grace in our hearts, and that we will not engage in barriers, but that we would see the magnitude and the greatness of a God who loves and cares for all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My debt to pay from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Think about it. Think about it.
Lord, I love to sing your praises.
Look at this one.
I'm so glad you're in my life.
Yes.
I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross. My debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross. My debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Amen. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the name of the Lord.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to see the full worship service with worship time included, you can go to our Facebook page by clicking on the link below. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at www.ebfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And if we don't see you on Wednesday, we'll see you next year, our first Sunday of 2022. God bless.